I'm so excited that the room is full. I mean, man, look at this. I'm so excited. And I know we sat out just enough chairs so it would be. But you know what? It's full, thank the Lord. And so we're appreciative of that. Jimmy, Chastity, so good to see y'all. And I know y'all are like, I don't even know you really. But I know y'all. My word for 2020 is kindness, and you may think, you're already kind. I know that was some of the promo today on, that this is my wheelhouse. But I want you to know, it hasn't always been that way for me. When I was a teenager, kind was not what one of the words that was used to describe me. At all. And so when I see myself portrayed as an example of this, I'm excited because I've been studying it. And so, Doug, I know it was Doug. Thank you for that, because that was a huge compliment. But I want you to know that what you see there is really Jesus shining through me, because it's not like there's other stuff going on inside of me that doesn't come out. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's still that old Seth in there that's really wanting to roast on people, and I just don't anymore. Does everybody know what I'm saying? I know Ron Jones knows, because he's been with me when I did do it. In Jesus, you know. I want to clarify a couple of things that I know are clear, but I just want to help you. When we say Abba's house is a house of grace, I want you to understand that Abba's house is brick and mortar. And it's awesome, but if you walk through here, you won't find grace in here if nobody's in here. And so the reason that Abba's house is a house of grace is because it's filled with people of grace. And when I think of being a house of grace, I immediately think that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so now I am a house of grace. And I want us to have the mindset this year that we are walking houses of grace. People don't have to receive grace when they walk into Abba's house. When they walk into us, they receive grace. If they bump into us, they should receive grace. And I want us to be so full of the understanding of what grace is that we realize, because you can only give from what you've received. You can't give something that you only have head knowledge of. You can explain it, but you can't give it. To give grace is different than to explain grace. Explained grace doesn't cover sin. It helps. But poured out grace from a place of grace can free people. And so I want us to see ourselves as people of grace. Now, I'm going to go ahead and let you know something. I've been looking at the red numbers, thinking that's how much time I had left. Now, it's been steadily going up ever since I started. And so I just thought somebody really thought I was preaching good. Now I realize that's not it. So I've got to hurry. Just to let you. Normally I have Beth going, let's go, let's go, let's go. Lydia, help me out. Wrap it up. Here we go. So this is my year of kindness, and I want to understand what kindness is. I want to receive the kindness of the Lord. I want to give the kindness of the Lord. I want to be a faithful representation of kindness on the earth. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So for that, I have to understand it. I don't think this world dislikes Jesus. I think they dislike our representation of Jesus. And I know I used a Gandhi quote differently. I just chopped it up. Your Jesus I like, your Christians not so much. But when I look and I try to minister to high school students or middle school students, they don't need to understand so much technically what's in the scripture. They just need to understand that Jesus loves them and is for them. I mean, isn't that why Jesus came? Honestly, when Jesus came, he said, I came that you may have life. He came to give grace upon grace. Extra grace. But I'm afraid we don't understand grace. And I say love, and love has always been what I've talked about. And I talk about love so much, but guess what? You can't already talk about love anymore without it being misconstrued. How can a God of love and Christians who love people be called hateful people? Is it because we act like it? Or is it because when we don't agree, we're told that we are hateful? I think it's a little bit of both, probably. Kindness doesn't mean that I have to accept everything. It's actually the opposite. Well, let's get into it. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. I could tell you everything I think about it, but when I looked it up at the definition, kindness, it said to be kind, to show. I was like, well, that's not helping me much. Polite. I don't think that's the biblical definition of kindness. As I've been studying it, it's not the definition. It's not nice. I'm jumping ahead. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Now, this is Paul writing to the Romans. And in Romans 1, he's talking about all of the debauchery and all the sin and all of the decay of the world. And there's places in there that we have really camped out and preached hard and heavy. And then there's places that we just kind of skip. Because in the very thing that he says that we've all agree on, probably, he also says you're disobedient to your parents. Like in the very same like whole line of things. What is he doing? I think he's setting us up. I think Paul was setting you up. Because if you stand and like preach hard, like I think standing on what people do wrong is wrong. I mean, we call it standing for what's right, but it's also standing against people that do wrong. Jesus didn't do that. Did he? He came to be the truth. He is the truth. But he came to display God's love. Now, in doing so, he also said there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. But he never really, 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 really got rude about it. The only people he was ever rude to were the religious people and his disciples, which I'll show you tonight that he was actually being kind to them. He was displaying kindness as he was being rude. So Romans chapter 2, it says that. Now let's look at it in the Passion Translation. I love the Passion Translation. It's a little more elegant. Do the riches of his extraordinary kindness make you take him for granted and despise him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he's been to you? Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and lead you into repentance? I want to help you understand the reason that I think 2020 is my year of kindness, because everybody I meet, I want their hearts to be turned. I want their minds to be changed about who Jesus is and what Christianity looks like. I want them to see me and see so much kindness in me that they are so aware of their difference that they turn and change their mind and follow Jesus. See, we don't trust, if we can't do this, we don't trust Jesus is the one making the difference anyway. Because if we feel that we've got to encourage other people to stop doing this, we don't understand that the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit is what changes anybody. None of us stop sinning because we just made our minds up to. We stopped sinning after we accepted Jesus and the Holy Spirit began to pull the sin out of our life. And it was only by his kindness that he had the power to destroy us and chose to die for us. See, that's what I think the biblical definition of kindness is. I want to know you enough, and I want you to know me enough, that I could totally destroy you, but I'm going to love you. And by loving you and covering you, it's going to be revealed as kindness. We don't do that in this world. It's very hard to, even in Christian world, it's hard to be totally open because we're afraid that somebody might betray us because we just aren't kind. We can say that we love, but how far does that love go? It goes as long as it doing something for us? You haven't done anything against us? And so I want us to understand that kindness is not just being nice. It's not just having love for somebody. It's about displaying the fruit and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see that Jesus is an example of God's kindness. In Titus chapter 3, it says this, "But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us." I'm just going to stop right there. We never talk about Jesus being the kindness of God. We always talk about him being the love of God. But can we believe that he was kind, that the reason that Jesus came was because he was kind, that he saw everything about us that was wrong and said, "You know what? I love you so much. I'm going to display the character and nature that's inside me called kindness, and I'm going to cover that with the blood of my only son." So Jesus had to give up everything and go to the cross to display not his kindness for us, but God's kindness for us. And we are supposed to be like him. So our lives should be an example of sacrifice that leads to kindness. We should be always trying to cover those around us. We should never leave anybody open. Exposed. But a lot of times we think exposing, and I know the Bible says have nothing to do with the deeds of the darkness, but rather expose them. That's not what I'm talking about here. But when we see somebody that's got something uncovered in their life, we should go to them as a spiritual one and we should cover them. That's kindness. Not talk to 47 people and tell them that they're open and exposed. That's just not kindness. But unfortunately, that's prayer requests, you know? I'm going to stop there because I'm running out of time. Kindness is not nice all the time. So the other day I posted a thing that said, don't mistake my kindness for weakness. I don't know if any of y'all saw that. Beth was like, "Ooh, you get them, you know." And I said, "It's a song lyric. I have no clue." I didn't know that Al Pacino said it. And it's also a song lyric in a 1,000-Foot Crutch song. One of the best bands ever. So, I'm going to show you a picture of a painting. And if you're a visitor, maybe new to the church or have memory issues, you know that I cry pretty quick. I'm a big baby up here. This painting is a painting that my granddad did. And it's not my granddad that where I got my size from. It was my granddad who was my uncle, my great uncle, and his wife died. And his wife was my granddad's sister. And my granddad died, and so my great uncle, granddad, married my grandmother. They lived in Tennessee at the time, so I'm just telling you, it's not just an Alabama thing. So, but they knew each other, they loved each other, they loved a brother and sister who had both passed, and they married for fellowship and friendship, and that's all I want to think about. So, he was the kindest man, one of the kindest men I ever met. Never said an ill word about anybody, ever. Gave me my first strong concordance. Told me to study it. Super kind. So he was painting this painting. And he painted these things from memory as a child. And this is Nakalula Falls in Gadsden. And you can see Nakalula. It really is Nakalula Jumps. I think she totally intended to jump. So it's not, I mean, it's kind of, you know, Nakalula jumped right there. She didn't fall. But there is a fall there, so it works. So if you can see that little stick sticking up. So my granddad was painting this, and he had worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And my nephew at the time was about 3 years old. And he lived across the street. And so he went and visited, and my granddad had left his paints out. And so my nephew liked the color Lello. And so he just got a brush and just went to town with Lello all over this painting and ruined it. I mean, it was ruined. And they caught him, and my sister was mortified. Like, oh my goodness. My granddad just immediately saw a sunrise and just started painting. He could have, I mean, he ruined it. That was not what he initially intended for it to look like. But I want you to understand, and I may just end up closing here. I got so much more to say, but I want you to understand this. My granddad knew something. That this is a masterpiece. Because he painted it, and his grandson painted it, his great-grandson. And so it was a combining of the generations in a painting that now has more meaning than any painting that looks right. And I want you to know something. When you see this generation coming and they're messing up everything, be kind. Be kind, because what you right now have your hands on, you're going to have to release one day, and we're going to have to figure out how to make it work. This thing called Christianity, this thing called church, these students are going to have to figure out how to make it work, and they're going to make mistakes sometimes, and they're going to mess it up sometimes. And you know what our job is? Our job is to come in, and instead of scrapping the whole thing or getting mad or firing a student pastor or whatever happens, that happens now. What we have to do is we have to say, you know what? It's not so bad. It's not so bad. I see some good in that. Come on, let's fix that. And now this is my My nephew's painting. My granddad's been passed away for 15 years, but this is my nephew's painting that he painted. And he can look at this with pride. And he doesn't look at that as it was a mistake. He looks at it as part of a painting he painted one time. Listen, we've got to help people walk through this life, and when they make mistakes, we've got to show them that there's still a masterpiece inside of them, that there's still something inside of them that's worth salvaging, that we don't scrap the whole thing just because we messed it up. We just let God take the brush and make it into a nice sunrise. You know? I got to say this part. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we always blaze through it. So we always blaze through the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know. Love, joy, peace, blaze, blah, 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 and all those nesses. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, and this, 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 you know. But I think if you're kind and you show kindness, you're able to display kindness, that reveals to everyone that you have a fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I think when I read in 1 Corinthians 13 where it talks about love, I think a lot of that he's saying kindness. Unless you're kind to people I died for, I don't care how much you prophesy. I don't care how much spiritually you know. If you don't display the characteristics that prove to this world that I love them. You know what I'm saying? So it's from the fullness of the heart that the mouth speaks. So if we're full of ourselves, then ourselves will speak. If we're full of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will speak. And when he comes out as kindness, I can tell you thank you for everybody that says, Seth, that's right up your alley, because that just shows that somewhere I'm doing something right with the Holy Spirit. Because I'm just as selfish as everybody else. Our response and our responsibility, we've got a ton of responsibility in this. Romans 8, 29, let's look at that real quick. It says, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. Let's study that. He chose you to look like Jesus. Not eventually, not in heaven. This is not a future heaven verse. That's an excuse and a cop-out. Jesus said greater things that you'll do because the Holy Spirit will be in all of us and we'll be able to display his likeness throughout the earth. And so for me, when I say 2020 is the year of kindness, 2020 is going to be the year of aggravation for my flesh. 2020 is going to be the year of selfishness for my flesh. Because I'm putting it out there, 2020 is my year of kindness, and so my flesh is going to fight against what I know God wants me to be. This is a spiritual war we're in. By the way, teenagers, World War III ain't happening. I know y'all worried about it. It ain't happening. Iran's been at war with us since 1979. It's not happening. You just now know about it. Okay? So just be easy. I like your patriotism on Instagram and all that stuff. I dig it. But here's the deal. Don't be afraid of that. God loves the Iranians. And we should show kindness to them. Oh. Psalm 141. I'll prove it to you. Let the godly strike me. It will be a kindness if they correct me. It is soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it. Just this week, I've been in meetings where I got soothedly critiqued. And it was kindness. It was not something I wanted. It was not something I appreciated at the time, and it was not something that I would necessarily want to happen again, but it was done in love and in kindness. If we don't correct people, then we don't love them. That's why Jesus was being kind when he called the Pharisees the brood of vipers, because he's letting them know, you have went so far off the rails. This is where you are now. You think you're representing God, but you're not. You're representing the other side. And so there's times when you need somebody to come up and gently rebuke you and say, this is not right. And guess what? If they do it and then cover you, it's kindness. See, Jesus went on to call all those people brood of vipers. They killed him and he died for them. He still died for them. We don't get to choose the people we like, whether we're going to be kind or not. The people we agree with, whether we're going to be kind or not. We can't be that, because that's everybody. That's not distinguishing any difference. We have to distinguish a difference. If there's nothing different about me, then what is the Holy Spirit doing? The only thing different about you and everybody else in the world is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. If you're not displaying the Holy Spirit, they don't see a difference. And I believe that if you study kindness, you'll see that that's been the thing that's been on the decline. We talk about love, but love is conditional. All right. Ephesians 4:32, and I'm done. I felt Beth right there. It was just the spirit of Beth right there. Instead, be kind to each other. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I think it's important that we understand that verse. Forgiving one another, just as God forgave us. He forgave us before we asked for it. He forgave us when Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross before any of you were alive. Jesus died while you were yet sinner, before you'd ever asked for it. And so this intention, this random act of kindness thing that everybody tries to do, I'm going to tell you that if we're not intentional about kindness, it's not kindness. We have to be intentional, because Jesus was intentional with everything he did. Nothing Jesus did was random. He only did what he heard and saw the Father say and do. So we can't live our life on a random thing. We have to be intentional about forgiving others. We have to be like Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. When the crowd said, stone her, the law said, stone her, and Jesus could have easily, without sin, put her to death. But instead, Jesus said, I came so that you can live. And whatever he did on the ground, what he showed that woman was kindness. Because Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that through his sacrifice, the world might be saved. And I'm going to tell you this, Jesus doesn't come to condemn you. Jesus, when he spoke in Luke chapter 4 and said that I am the good news. And he said, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. There was nothing negative about it. And I want to challenge us this year that we live our lives so intentional about showing the kindness of God, that the mission of Jesus is fulfilled in Hickson, Chattanooga, Saudi, Nevada, and everywhere else we go. It can only do that if we're intentional. It can only do that if we get away from ourselves and we start to implement Operation Kindness, that every day I say, today, less of me and more of Jesus. And guess what tomorrow? Less of me and more of Jesus. You know why? Because there's teenagers out there, and there's people that you're working with, and there's people living in your home that they don't need another sermon. They just need a demonstration of kindness that's filled with the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And if we're not willing and able to give that, then listen, I'm telling you, we're missing the entire purpose and plan of Jesus dying on the cross. And so let's be about it. Hold me accountable. If nothing else, I have to be kind. Now, don't think it's weakness, because Jesus was the strongest man that ever lived. He was also the kindest. What I told the college students Sunday night was this: God's playing a cosmic game of hide and seek with your life. He says, if you seek me, you'll find me, if you seek with all your heart. And he also says that your life, your real life, is hidden in Christ. So in this hide and seek game, as you're out there seeking after God, guess what? You're going to find yourself. And when you reveal your true self to this world, you'll actually be revealing Jesus to this world, and you'll receive the glory as he's glorified on the earth. It's such an awesome, awesome kids game that he uses to reveal ourselves to us. Tonight, I'm going to tell you, we're a church that's known for being filled with the Holy Spirit. May we be a church that's filled with the kindness and the character of Christ. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, the only thing you have to do is say yes. Ask him to come into your life, because he's already done everything he's got to do. You just say yes to Jesus. Wondering about this filled with the Holy Spirit thing? It's nowhere near as spooky as it used to be. He comes in, your life begins to resemble him. It's awesome, but you need help. We got to do it together. That's why we come to church. So if you need any of that, we've got pastors down here. If you need to come tell somebody that you've accepted Christ today, please do it. The Holy Spirit will come in, he'll tear a bunch of stuff up, and you'll be all like, I don't know what's going on. Just know that he's sifting through and sorting through your life. He's setting things together that have been laid dormant for a long time. That happens. But as he fills your life, he'll start to reveal himself more and more and more and more. And as he's revealed, Jesus is revealed to this world. Such an easy thing, such a hard thing. Everybody stand to your feet. As the band plays, I think we've got about 3 minutes or so before 8. So if you're going to do something, hurry. We're not going back into it. This is it. Ladies down here, we've got ministry called Celebrate Recovery. Beth and I are volunteering. It's not part of my job. I'm volunteering. And there are going to be people that don't need another sermon. They don't need another scripture. They need to walk in and feel the manifest presence of Jesus Christ overflowing on them in kindness. Because they don't need to be reminded that they've screwed it up because they know it. They just need to be reminded that God loves them no matter what. And so if that's you, just come on up and we'll just have somebody. Somebody will come and be with you. And we're going to bear each other's burdens. Lord, we love you. Just lift this up. We love you. If you need to move, move. I'll come down. Don't leave here without doing business with God. And when you leave here, be about his business. In Jesus' name.